know if he's buying, selling, or if it's pending. Sell your home worry-free with Josh Cooley, Keller Williams Realty.
Welcome back to Crunch Time.
I can't live like this.
On a Wednesday. It's not a Wednesday without the bell. The bell, of course, means it is time for the Crunch Exchange, brought to you by Josh Cooley, Keller Williams. The Crunch Exchange, I will give Steve some stories from around the world of sports, give him a perspective involving those stories. He will tell us if he's buying or selling or if it is pending. Sometimes he actually uses pending. Usually I start off with the Blazers here, but I don't really see a point. Here's the only opinion to have. Last night killed their will and their soul. The Blazers are done. Moving on to some football, because we had the spring game, NFL draft last week. One of the odd stories from the draft, other than Laremy Tunsil, which we'll get to, was the Buccaneers trading up in the second round to draft kicker Roberto Aguayo. I wrote that wrong. Out of Florida State. His pedigree, undeniable. Lou Groza Award winner. He's the first three-time All-American from Florida State since Deion Sanders. And when he won the Groza Award in 2013, all he did was make an FBS record for points in a season, making 94 consecutive extra points, 21 of 22 field goals. And he didn't drop off at all after that. But he's still just a kicker, after all. Some have made the argument that the Bucs already have a young nucleus at pretty much every other position. Winston, Evans, Doug Martin, Levante David, and that shoring up a kicker for the next decade could end up being the last step they take before they take the next step into a position to be a winner again. But he's still just a kicker, after all. The prospectus, training up to get Aguayo in the second round was a good move for the Bucs.
That's one of those deals where they say if you really believe you could get that kind of stability for a decade and just not have to worry about extra points. And in the NFL, man, a money kick here and there, that could be worth like three games. I'm going to buy that. That's an interesting move.
The Browns and their quarterback situation have been the talk of the NFL for the last few months for some reason. Not really sure why we act like we care about the Browns or who they decide to throw out there to the Wolves to play quarterback for them, but we do. JFF is gone. RG3 is in. They still have Josh McCown just in case. They drafted Cody Kessler from USC in the third round of the draft. Kessler put up huge numbers at SC, was regarded by some as the best quarterback in the conference before sputtering towards the end of last year. His 2014 season was unbelievable. 4,000 yards, 39 touchdowns, just five picks. His career at USC, over 10,000 yards, 88 touchdowns, 19 interceptions. For comparison purposes, Mariota finished his three seasons over 10,000 yards, 105 touchdowns, 14 picks. So pretty comparable to arguably the best quarterback in Pac-12 history. The Browns have told the media that every QB is in the running to start for them this season, including the rookie. Kessler told reporters that's how he's preparing. Now, with the investment in RG3, it seems like a no-brainer that he will start day one, but he's injury prone. McCown is a proven commodity of mediocrity. So the prospectus, Cody Kessler will start at least one game this season.
Ooh.
For the Browns.
Well, they usually start, what, seven quarterbacks a year?
Yeah.
So I don't think it's impossible that Brian Hartline ends up starting for them. So I'm going to buy that.
Josh Gordon's going to end up starting quarterback for a game for them this season. Okay, let's get to Laremy Tunsil.
Gas mask.
Everybody knows what happened. Everybody saw the video of him going all Apocalypse Now on a bong at some point during his college career. Then the Instagram post of his text discussion with an athletic staff member about paying his mom's electricity bills. So he drops to the Dolphins at 13. He was once viewed as the top prospect in the draft, fell out of the top 10 because of marijuana and making money from his school. Because for some reason, the NFL cares about weed more than they care about concussions. So the Dolphins get arguably the best player in the draft at 13. Now, we look at the NFL as being one step behind the rest of the world in terms of drug use. But that said, weed is still legal in most of our country. And if Tunsil is in the substance abuse program with the league, it could mean an uphill battle for him just to stay on the field. Pro Bowl talent, but if he can't keep his act together, the world might never get to see him perform a la Josh Gordon. But as it is right now, he slides right into left tackle and will be the anchor for a long time for the Dolphins. The prospectus, you buy or sell that Tunsil will be able to keep it together and will start every game this season?
I'll tell you what, starting every game this season is always a long shot, especially linemen. It's such a physical game. But I got a feeling that they're going to address weed before the next round of collective bargaining. I think there's going to be a push. So I think he's going to keep it together. I think he's going to overcome the gas mask. But just, I would bet against anybody but a kicker starting all 16 games, so I'm going to sell it.
One last NFL one. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, had an interesting story on NFL.com today. With their picks in the NFL draft, many are saying the Jags had one of the best couple of days and set themselves up to make a run at the AFC South, which has the Colts, Titans, Texans, and the Jags. They added arguably the best two defenders in the draft in Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack this year. Add to that Dante Fowler, who was their top pick last year, tore his ACL in his first play of his first practice. So essentially, they will be breaking in three elite rookies, adding them to a promising group already there in a division that wasn't very good last year. But the Texans still have J.J. Watt, just added Brock Osweiler, Lamar Miller, and they still have DeAndre Hopkins. Colts are going to get a healthy Andrew Luck again. And the Titans, well, they have Mariota. Maybe they can keep him healthy. Some have said the Jags' moves makes them a contender to win that division. Jeremiah doesn't agree. Do you? The prospectus: Jacksonville is a legit contender to win the AFC South now.
Man, that's a big leap. You got Miles Jack, who has confessed to needing microfracture surgery, which gives Oregonians who follow the Blazers a nervous twitch. The other guy just came off a really serious injury. And Ramsey, a young cover corner immediately. I'll tell you what, I like their chances better in 2017. I don't think it's that realistic to think just add water. I'm going to sell that.
One last one on the baseball. Your Yanks were just swept in a weekend series by the Red Sox, and your boy Jeets went on late night with Seth Meyers and was asked about the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry. Said the Red Sox fans have softened up since his heyday because of the recent winning tradition. Said he used to walk the streets of Boston, people would yell at him that the Yankees suck and that they hate him, which he thought was fine. Nowadays, he has people apologizing to him for being a Red Sox fan and wishing him the best. Stopped himself, but nearly said he was happy the Red Sox won their World Series because it made his life a lot easier to walk around. Now, neither team is any good, which doesn't really help with rivalries. When there are no stakes, it seems to take the sting out of a win or of a loss. But you're a Yankees fan, Steve. You interact with Sox fans all the time. What say you? The prospectus: the Red Sox and Yankees rivalry has lost its luster.
Oh, it hardly exists anymore because the Yankees stink and there's no one to really hate. Jeter's gone. A-Rod, everybody hates, even Yankees fans. No Schilling, no Pedro. I'm buying it.